Welcome to another deep dive with us. This time, we're going to be exploring the fascinating world of biblical prophecy.
Yep.
We're going to try to understand the prophets in a meaningful way. And to do that, we're going to be taking a look at a lecture series by a scholar of the prophets, Dr. Marv Wilson.
Sounds good.
Now, you might be thinking, prophecy, isn't that all about predicting the future?
Right. A lot of people think that.
Yeah, well, not exactly. One of the
Yeah.
things that really struck me from Dr. Wilson was this analogy that he gave of interpreting scripture as like a wrestling match.
Oh, interesting.
It's more of an art than a science, so you really have to actively grapple with the text. You don't want to just passively read it.
That makes sense. I like that analogy.
Yeah, what about you?
Yeah, no, I think that's a good way to put it. And Dr. Wilson emphasizes, starting with the Jewish scriptures, we need to understand their historical context first before we bring in the New Testament.
Right.
Like he uses the example of the early church.
Right.
They started with the Jewish scriptures as the Word of God.
Of course, yeah.
And then they saw how God may have added to that understanding through the New Testament.
Right.
Kind of like a, you know, if you're building a house,
Yeah.
you want to start with a solid foundation before you build the rest of the house.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. So starting with that Old Testament is key.
Yeah.
But there's another really important point that he brings up, which is that much of prophetic literature, it's actually poetry.
Okay.
It's not just like dry historical reporting. It's filled with symbolism and vivid imagery.
Right.
And so thinking back to even, those great stories of Abraham, who was considered a prophet in the Bible, and God promised him descendants as numerous as the stars, the sand, and the dust.
Right.
Like, that is a powerful picture, but he's not getting bogged down in like exact numbers.
Right. That's a good example.
Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think recognizing that poetic nature helps us avoid those overly literal interpretations,
Right.
which sometimes can lead to a lot of confusion.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're laying the groundwork here by understanding the historical context, appreciating that poetic language of the Old Testament. Now, here's where I think it gets really interesting.
Okay.
Dr. Wilson argues that prophecy is ultimately person-centered, not event-centered.
Okay.
It's more about the who than the when.
That's a good distinction.
Yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I like that. And ultimately, that who is the Messiah? It all points towards the person of Christ.
Yeah, so instead of getting caught up in trying to predict specific events, like you can focus on how these prophecies are pointing to Jesus and his role in God's plan, and that can offer a sense of hope and purpose in your own life, regardless of what the future holds.
Yeah, I agree.
Right.
And that actually brings us to another important principle that Dr. Wilson highlights, and that is the importance of avoiding dogmatism when it comes to interpreting prophecy. You know, just because someone has a very specific and detailed interpretation
Right.
doesn't mean it's the only valid one.
Right.
And he even told this story about a seminary that had incredibly specific requirements in their statement of faith regarding the interpretation of the 70 weeks of Daniel.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, I mean, like down to, you know, the very specific year that certain events were supposed to take place. They even had three different interpretations that they were okay with.
Oh, interesting.
And so they allowed their teachers to teach any of the three,
Huh.
but they had to commit to one of them.
Oh, wow.
You know, just seeing that, you know,
Yeah.
it's easy to get bogged down in these minute details and forget about the bigger picture. And different viewpoints exist among sincere believers.
Right.
And that's okay.
Yeah, that's a great reminder that how we understand the specifics of those end time events is less important than our shared belief in Christ's return.
Right.
Now, the New Testament adds another layer to our understanding, and sometimes it reinterprets Old Testament texts in ways that might surprise us.
Yeah.
For instance, Dr. Wilson gives the example of how Paul in Romans applies Hosea's prophecy about restoring God's relationship with Israel to the inclusion of the Gentiles in the church.
Yeah. Good example.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. And it shows us how the New Testament offers this broader, more inclusive lens through which to view Old Testament prophecies. It's not about discarding the original meaning, but seeing it in a new light, understanding how God's plan unfolds in sometimes unexpected ways.
Yeah. It's like adding a new dimension to the picture, isn't it?
Right.
And speaking of new dimension,
Yep.
we can sometimes be tempted to set dates or like create these elaborate timelines based on these prophecies, can't we?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Definitely. And Dr. Wilson cautions against that. You know, he even mentioned the story of William Miller, who predicted the exact date of Christ's return back in the 1840s,
Oh, yeah.
which led to widespread disappointment when it didn't happen.
Right, of course.
And it that has a long history, you know,
Right.
date setting within the church, it never seems to end well.
Yeah, It makes sense. I think it's so important to approach prophecy with humility, acknowledging that we don't have all the answers and that God's ways are often beyond our comprehension.
Right. And it's about trusting in God's timing.
Yeah.
And focusing on living out our faith in the present rather than getting caught up in trying to predict the future. You know, we're called to be faithful, not fortune tellers.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah. Now, all this might make it feel a bit predetermined.
Okay.
Like everything's set in stone. But Dr. Wilson throws another kind of curveball our way here. He suggests that many prophecies, especially those concerning nations, are actually conditional.
Really?
Yeah. What do you think about that?
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. So what's interesting here is this idea that human response, particularly repentance and changed behavior, can actually influence the outcome of a prophecy.
Okay.
It's like God is saying, here's what's likely to happen, but I'm also taking your choices into account.
Hmm. So it's not like a rigid, unchangeable decree.
Right.
But rather an invitation to align ourselves with God's will and potentially alter the course of events.
Precisely.
Hmm.
And that should give you a sense of hope and responsibility.
Right.
You know, your choices matter.
Yeah.
Not just for your own life,
right,
but potentially for the fate of nations. And, you know, in Jeremiah 18.7-10, God explicitly states that he might relent from judgment if a nation repents of its evil.
That's an incredible thought. Knowing that our choices, both individually and collectively, can have an impact on how prophecy unfolds just adds a whole new dimension to how we approach these texts.
Yeah, it does.
Doesn't it?
It also reminds us that God is not this distant, passive observer.
Right.
He's actively engaged with humanity,
yeah,
responding to our agonies,
right,
and offering opportunities for change and redemption.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here.
We have.
We've learned about the importance of starting with the Old Testament, understanding its historical context, and appreciating that poetic language. We've also explored this idea that prophecy is person-centered, focusing on Christ, and that interpretations can even be conditional.
Right.
And we've been reminded to avoid dogmatism and setting dates for Christ's return. Now, we've touched on the differences between the Old and New Testaments and how the New Testament sometimes offers a new perspective on prophecies. But what about those instances where those perspectives might seem to clash? Dr. Wilson brings up an interesting point about how the Old Testament prophets often didn't distinguish between the first and second comings of Christ.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Right. From their perspective, it was all part of a single glorious event, God's ultimate intervention in human history.
Right.
But for us, looking back, we can see the distinction between those two comings.
Right.
And that can sometimes create these interpretive challenges.
Right. And he gives the example of John the Baptist, whose message in Matthew 3 includes imagery of fire and judgment. Right. That seems more aligned with the second coming than the first.
Exactly. It highlights the need for a careful consideration of the context and a willingness to embrace the complexities of biblical interpretation. You know, we can't always force this neat and tidy fit,
right,
between prophecy and its fulfillment.
Yeah, it's like trying to fit a square peg in a round hole sometimes, isn't it? We can't force everything to line up perfectly. So what does all of this mean for us as we try to understand the prophets? We've talked about avoiding overly literal interpretations, recognizing the conditional nature of many prophecies, and being aware of the potential for differing viewpoints. But where do we go from there? How do we apply these principles practically?
Well, that's a great question, and it's one that we'll continue to explore in part two of this deep dive.
Okay, great. Stay tuned. Welcome back to our deep dive into understanding the prophets. Last time we were exploring some of those key principles for interpreting prophecy, like recognizing the poetic nature of it, understanding the historical context, and remembering that it's often person-centered, focusing on Christ. We also talked about how some prophecies are conditional,
yeah,
meaning that our choices can actually influence their outcome.
Right.
And we touched on the fact that there can be different viewpoints among, you know, sincere believers.
Yeah.
So it's important to avoid being dogmatic about our interpretations.
Right. We don't want to get stuck in the weeds of trying to figure out every single detail and miss the bigger picture.
Right. Exactly. And speaking of a bigger picture, you know, I've been thinking about how these principles can actually help us in our everyday lives.
Yeah.
It's easy to kind of get caught up in the academic side of things.
Right.
But like, what does all of this mean for how we live, how we relate to God, and how we see the world around us?
That's a great question. And I think it's important to remember that these ancient texts have this timeless quality that transcends cultural and historical boundaries. You know, the prophets were addressing issues that are still relevant today, like social injustice, abuse of power, the pursuit of wealth at the expense of others.
It's almost like human nature hasn't changed all that much.
Right.
Exactly. We still struggle with those same temptations to turn away from God and prioritize our own selfish desires.
Exactly. And that's where the prophet's message becomes so powerful, because it reminds us that God sees what's going on. He's not oblivious to our struggles and our failures.
But the good news is that he doesn't just condemn us.
Right.
He offers hope and a way back to him.
That's right. He calls us to repentance, to a change of heart, and a renewed commitment to aligning our lives with his will. And that call to repentance is just as relevant today as it was back then.
Okay, so we see these parallels between the prophetic message and our own lives.
Right, huh?
But I'm still wondering, like, how do we practically apply these principles? Can you give us some concrete examples?
Absolutely. Think about the principle of avoiding deterministic readings of prophecy. This doesn't just apply to Israel's land claims, but any situation where you might be tempted to use scripture to justify your own agendas or prejudices.
So it's about being careful not to twist the meaning of prophecy to fit our own preconceived notions or political leaning. Like, we shouldn't be cherry-picking verses to support our own biases or try to force the Bible to say what we want it to say.
Exactly. It's about approaching the text with humility, recognizing that your understanding is always limited and that you need to be open to correction and new insights. You should always be willing to ask questions and learn from others who might have a different perspective.
And remembering that God's ways are higher than our ways. And his plans often unfold in ways we don't expect.
Right. Now, let's talk about the conditional nature of prophecy. That's where we see the power of prayer and action.
Okay.
It reminds us that we're not just passive observers. You know, we can participate in shaping the future by aligning our lives with God's will and working for justice, peace, and righteousness.
So it's not about sitting back and waiting for God to do everything. It's about actively cooperating with him and being his hands and feet in the world.
Exactly. And that response doesn't always have to be grand or dramatic. You know, it could be as simple as choosing kindness over judgment, forgiveness over resentment, generosity over greed. Those everyday choices make a difference.
It's about being faithful in the small things, trusting that those seemingly insignificant acts of obedience can have a ripple effect, transforming lives and communities.
Now, another challenge we often encounter in studying prophecy is understanding those passages that seem particularly cryptic or symbolic. How do we even begin to approach those?
That's a good question. Yeah, it can feel overwhelming sometimes, especially when you're first starting to study prophecy. It's like trying to decipher a secret code.
Right. And in those cases, it's important to rely on the guidance of the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of the church throughout history. You know, it's also where humility is essential. You know, we need to acknowledge that we may not have all the answers, and that some prophecies may remain a mystery until their fulfillment. It's okay to say, I don't know.
It's reassuring to know that it's okay to not have all the answers. You know, it's more about the journey of seeking understanding than having everything figured out.
Exactly. And sometimes the process of wrestling with those difficult passages, even if you don't arrive at a definitive answer, can deepen your faith and draw you closer to God. It's like those prophecies become invitations to a deeper relationship with the divine.
I love that. It's not about cracking a code or solving a puzzle. You know, it's about engaging in a conversation with God, a journey of discovery that unfolds over time. And speaking of journeys, I've noticed that the prophetic books often talk about judgment and destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be hard to reconcile those images with our understanding of God as a loving and merciful father.
Right. That's a tension that runs throughout the Bible. And it's one that theologians and scholars have wrestled with for centuries. You know, but it's important to remember that God's judgment is always rooted in his love and desire for our wholeness. You know, he doesn't take pleasure in punishing people.
So it's not about punishment for its own sake, but rather a consequence of choosing to turn away from God and his ways.
Exactly. And even in those prophecies that seem to depict God's wrath, there's often a glimmer of hope, a reminder that his ultimate desire is for reconciliation and restoration.
That makes sense. It's like a parent disciplining a child out of love, not out of anger or a desire to inflict pain.
Yes, so that's a good analogy. You know, God's discipline is always meant to lead us to repentance and a deeper relationship with him. Now, remember that we talked about how prophecy is often person-centered, focusing on the Messiah. Well, that emphasis on the person of Christ can actually help us understand those difficult passages about judgment.
How so?
Well, when we understand that Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of prophecy, we can see those judgments not just as punishments, but as opportunities for redemption. You know, Christ took the judgment we deserved upon himself on the cross, and through him we can find forgiveness and new life.
That's a powerful thought. It's like those prophecies of judgment are ultimately pointing us to the cross where God's love and justice meet in a profound way.
Exactly. And then that should give us hope, even when we're confronted with the reality of sin and its consequences. God's love is always greater than our sin, and His grace is always available to those who turn to Him in repentance.
Okay, we've talked about the challenges of interpreting prophecy, the need for balance and humility, and the importance of approaching these texts with an open heart and a discerning mind. But let's bring it back to the listener. You know, why should they care about all of this? What's the relevance or application of these principles in their everyday lives?
That's a great question. And I think it's one we all need to ask ourselves as we engage with Scripture. It's not just about acquiring knowledge or winning theological debates. It's about allowing God's word to transform you from the inside out.
So how do these principles actually play out in our lives? Can you give us some more practical examples?
Well, for one thing, understanding the conditional nature of prophecy can give you a sense of agency and hope.
Okay.
It reminds you that your choices matter, that you can participate in shaping the future, both individually and collectively.
So it's not about passively waiting for God to do something. It's about actively aligning ourselves with His will and working towards the fulfillment of His promises.
Exactly. And recognizing the poetic nature of prophecy can help you appreciate the richness and depth of God's communication.
Yeah.
It invites you to engage with Scripture on an imaginative and emotional level, to allow those powerful images and metaphors to stir your heart and inspire your actions.
It's like those prophecies become more than just words on a page. They become living, breathing realities that can shape our perspectives and guide our steps.
And avoiding dogmatism, being willing to acknowledge different interpretations, can foster humility and respect within the body of Christ.
Oh.
It reminds us that we're all on a journey of faith, and that none of us has a monopoly on truth.
It's about creating space for dialogue and disagreement, recognizing that we can learn from each other even when we don't see eye to eye on every detail.
Exactly. And ultimately, I think these principles can help you approach prophecy and indeed all of Scripture with a sense of wonder and awe. It's about encountering the living God, the one who speaks through these ancient texts and continues to reveal Himself in unexpected and transformative ways.
It's about opening ourselves to the mystery, the beauty, and the power of God's word, allowing it to shape our lives and guide us on our journey of faith. But what about when it comes to actually making decisions in our lives?
Uh-huh.
How can understanding prophecy help us navigate those choices, especially when things feel uncertain or we're facing difficult challenges?
That's a great question, and it's one that we'll explore further in the next part of our deep dive. We'll look at how these principles can provide practical guidance and wisdom for making decisions in line with God's will and His purposes for your life. So stay tuned for part 3, where we'll delve even deeper into the practical application of understanding the prophets.
Welcome back to the final part of our deep dive into understanding the prophets. We've spent the last two parts unpacking these key principles for interpreting prophecy, like recognizing the poetic nature, understanding the historical context, and remembering that it's often person-centered, focusing on Christ. We also talked about how some prophecies are conditional and how it's important to avoid, being dogmatic in our interpretations.
Yeah, we've covered a lot of ground, but now I think we can shift gears a little bit and talk about how all of this applies to your everyday life.
Right, because what good is knowledge if you can't actually put it into practice?
Exactly.
Like, it's fascinating to explore these ancient texts and uncover that deeper meaning, but how can understanding prophecy actually help us to navigate the challenges and opportunities that we face today?
Well, I think one of the first things to keep in mind is that the prophets weren't just speaking to their own generation. Their words have a timeless quality that transcends cultural and historical boundaries. The issues they addressed, like social injustice, abuse of power, the pursuit of wealth at the expense of others, are just as relevant in the 21st century as they were thousands of years ago.
Yeah, it's amazing how much human nature just stays the same, isn't it?
It really is.
We're still wrestling with those same temptations to turn away from God and prioritize our own selfish desires.
Precisely. And that's where the prophet's message becomes so powerful, because it reminds us that God sees what's going on. He's not oblivious to our struggles, our failures, or even our tendency to repeat the mistakes of the past.
But He doesn't just condemn us.
Right.
He calls us to repentance, to a change of heart, and a renewed commitment to aligning our lives with His will.
And that call is just as urgent today as it was back then.
Absolutely. So how can we apply these principles practically?
Well, think about that idea of avoiding deterministic readings. This doesn't just apply to your interpretation of prophecies about Israel's land claims, but to any situation where you might be tempted to use Scripture to justify your own agendas or prejudices.
Yeah, that's so important. We have to be so careful not to twist the meaning of prophecy to fit our own preconceived notions or political leanings.
Right. You want to approach the text with humility, recognizing that your understanding is always limited and that you need to be open to correction and new insights. Don't be afraid to ask questions and consider perspectives that might differ from your own.
And remembering that God's ways are higher than our ways, and his plans often unfold in ways that we might not expect or even fully understand.
Right.
We have to trust his wisdom and his sovereignty, even when things don't make sense to us.
Now let's talk about the conditional nature of prophecy. This principle highlights the power of your choices, your prayers, and your actions. You're not just a passive observer in God's plan. You can actively participate in shaping the future by aligning your life with his will and working towards the fulfillment of his promises.
That's so empowering. It means we can make a real difference in the world by cooperating with God and being his hands and feet.
Exactly. And those actions don't have to be grand or dramatic. They could be as simple as choosing kindness over judgment, forgiveness over resentment, generosity over greed. Every choice you make, every action you take, can have a ripple effect that impacts the world around you.
Yeah, I love that. It's a reminder that even small acts of faithfulness can have a profound impact when they're done in obedience to God.
Now, how can we use these principles that we've been talking about to help make wise decisions?
Yeah, that's a good question, because sometimes it can be really hard to know what God's will is in a particular situation.
Right. Well, first and foremost, it's crucial to immerse yourself in Scripture. You know, develop a deep understanding of God's character and his heart for humanity. As you study the prophets and other books of the Bible, pay attention to those themes of justice, mercy, compassion, and righteousness. Those themes can serve as guiding principles when you're faced with those tough choices.
So it's about more than just, you know, knowing the facts or the details of specific prophecies. It's about developing a deep personal relationship with God and allowing his word to really shape our values, our priorities, and our decision-making process.
Exactly. And don't forget the importance of prayer. Ask God for wisdom and guidance, and seek counsel from trusted spiritual mentors who can offer insight and support. Remember, you're not in this alone. God has given you a community of believers to walk alongside you on this journey of faith.
Yeah, that's a beautiful reminder. And I think it ties back to one of those key principles that we discussed earlier about avoiding dogmatism. When we're humble enough to seek guidance from others, we open ourselves up to new perspectives and insights that we might have missed on our own.
Absolutely. Humility is essential in any area of life, but it's especially important when it comes to understanding God's word. We have to remember that we're all on a journey of faith, and none of us has all the answers.
Yeah, it's a process of continual learning and discovery, and sometimes the most important lessons come through our mistakes and our struggles.
Right. And that's where grace comes in. God doesn't expect us to be perfect. He knows we're going to mess up, but he's always there to forgive us, to pick us up when we fall, and to guide us back onto the right path.
Yeah, that's such an encouraging thought. So as we wrap up this deep dive, I just want to say thank you for joining us on this journey of exploring the prophets and how their message can impact our lives today.
It's been a pleasure to dive deep with you into these fascinating and challenging texts. Remember, the journey of understanding prophecy is a lifelong adventure. Don't be afraid to wrestle with tough questions, seek guidance from the Holy Spirit and trusted mentors, and most importantly, allow God's word to transform you from the inside out.
And if you find yourself feeling lost or confused, don't give up. Keep seeking, keep questioning, and keep diving deep. We'll be back soon with another deep dive, exploring a new topic and uncovering more of those hidden gems of wisdom and insight. Until then, may God bless you and guide you on your journey of faith.